1 John chapter 4, hear now the word of our Lord. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. We are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that dwell in him, and he is in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he is in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love, and made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen.
This being Mother's Day, I want to talk to you a little bit about love. Love, mother's love, God's love, our love. Because we always associate mothers so closely with love. Mothers have it for their children. This love that they have is innate within them. It's part of the equipment, if you will. It's part of the package that comes with motherhood. And sometimes mothers can be fierce about it. If you don't believe it, you know, just try to take Brantley from Aaron, for example. I mean, you would be in for a tremendous fight. Mothers can become fierce. I just saw this week on TV where a mother was on a bus and encouraging her kid to beat the heck out of some other kid back there because of what had happened with that child. Right or wrong, she was, you know, willing to stand up for the child. I saw on TV where a mother chased her car into the river trying to save her son. And that's the case with most mothers. I know with my daughters, you wouldn't want to get into it with Keisha about one of her children. She would be fierce You know, if I was to get between Keisha and one of her children and do harm, she'd rip my liver out. She is, to the nth degree, what mothers are in the love that they share for their children. And she manifests, like all other mothers, something that we find in the Scripture. And I don't know whether you remember or not, but last year we talked on Mother's Day about unfeigned love. Unfeigned love. It's what we find and described in the Scripture in several verses. It's a love that exists, that is built in. It's like Coke. It's the real thing. It's the real deal. However, it is different than other kinds of love. There are other types of love. And I want to address those other types of love on this Mother's Day, compare them for a better understanding of what God's love is towards us and how we should love Him. The New Testament is written in a language called Koine Greek. It's similar to Classical Greek, but it was a language that was spoken for only 400 or 500 years during biblical times. It was the language of that era. Christ happened to speak Aramaic, which was one of the other languages, but Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic was the language of the day, and it was specifically Koine Greek. It is different than what we know today as Classical Greek. And so that's why it's important to take a look and study that language. Now, I heard a preacher in Peru say about a year and a half or 2 years ago that he could not for the life of him understand why that they had to study Greek in seminary. And that is just astonishing to me. I mean, he apparently learned nothing, because there is so much to be learned from this Greek language of the Scripture, because that's what it was written in. The New Testament was written in Koine Greek. And so much is lost if you do not have some understanding of that language. Now, I'm not suggesting that you have to study Greek, and yet I always feel like I need to apologize because I'm constantly going back and pointing out Greek words to you, but I can't help it. You're just going to have to put up with it. It's so important, and it gives so much in the way of understanding in understanding the Scripture. And so today, this subject of love is a perfect example of how important it is to comprehend some of these Greek words, and how it was not always done through history. Some of the translations that were done, for example, the New Testament was translated mostly from the Vulgate, which is the Latin version of the New Testament that was translated from Greek into Latin, and then Latin that was used a lot to translate it into English. And sometimes, particularly if they didn't know or understand right division, they didn't really get it exactly right. So today on the subject of love, there are three main Greek words that are used in the Scripture that are translated, for the most part, love. The first one of these Greek words is the word eros. It's E-R-O-S. Eros. The second one is a word called phileo. I would say phileo. I think if you were technical, it would be phileo. Because I think in Greek, the I comes out more E, so it would be phileo rather than phileo. And the last word is agapeo. Those three words we find that are translated into the English, love. And you can't really understand what's going on if you don't know which of those words that are used. The first word, eros, is for passion. It has the meaning of sensual desire. It's erotic. It comes into the Latin. It comes into Latin in the form of amor, which we tend to understand, the kind of more of a French word, amor. And it is not a word that is really worthy of translating into the love that we find in the Scripture. It is unsuitable because the holy and moral character of scriptural love is not something that is sensual or passionate or erotic. This is why in the love chapter, for example, have you ever noticed in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, which we call the love chapter, how they translated the word love, charity? And the reason they translated the word charity is because they were working from the Vulgate, which was Latin, and in there they used the word amor, and amor was too sensual, and so they decided they used the word charity instead. And yet, in the original, when you read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, the word there is agapeo. And that has a different connotation than charity or amor. The second word, phileo, the best example of this, being this is Mother's Day, is actually mother's love. Phileo denotes the love of natural affection. It is an inclination that is visceral. It comes from the heart. It's original, it's spontaneous, it's involuntary. It would be used to describe sometimes the love between husband and wife, and it sometimes, depending on the parties involved, it has sometimes the connotation of eros, the first word. Now, here we find a reason for studying the Koine Greek of Scripture. Phileo, the word for love, is never used of the love of men towards God. And yet, I find that that is the feeling that a lot of people have, this type of love towards God. And I'm critical of a lot of the Christian music that I hear today, because those that are writing that music and those that are feeling this sensual, almost eros type of love are singing songs that tend to lean towards phileo, when you'll see here in a moment that that has nothing to do with the way we love God. It is not something that comes that's innate or within. It does not come from the heart. It comes from something else. We love Him, but we are not in love with Him, because God's love to man is but one time in all of Scripture expressed with the word phileo. It is always agapeo, or agape, which is the noun of agapeo. There is something peculiar about the word agapeo in that it is unknown outside of Scripture. Agape, the noun of the word agapeo, never occurs in Greek writings. It is entirely absent from Josephus and Phileo. It's almost like God has given us in agapeo a new word to express love. And the reason for that is because the language of men contain nothing high enough to denote this love in its fullest conceivable form. And so agapeo love, as compared to phileo, is a love that is of the direction, comes from the direction of the will. It is a love that is based on principle. It is to make something or much of a person. It is irrespective of rights, and it is more from the head than from the heart. It is the love that he has for us. And the strange thing is that love that he has for us, and we will see that we are to have this same love back to him, this agapeo love. It's the same love that is spoken of in Scripture, that we should love our enemies with this type of love. Now that I've looked at this, I begin to understand how or why I should love my enemies. Because it has nothing to do with phileo. It has to do with agapeo. And the best example that I could think of was Muhammad Ali and Frazier. They were bitter enemies in the ring. They fought one another. They battled one another. But today, they have no bitterness between them. They have a certain love or a certain respect for one another, because they have a principle or an understanding that they can comprehend, knowing what it's like to be in there against another man that's trying to beat your brains out. They have an understanding of one another and a respect and a certain type of love for one another that you and I cannot comprehend. It is knowledge. It's not of the heart. It is phileo. Now, agapeo love marks the following in Scripture, and we've got some scriptures to look up here. The first thing that it marks is the relationship of the Father and the Son. I've got about 9 or 10 of these. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to John, the book of John, page 1558. John, the 15th chapter, John chapter 15, verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my agapeo, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his agapeo. Turn over to the 17th chapter of the book of John, chapter 17, verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the agapeo wherewith thou hast agapeoed me may be in them and I in them. So here we begin to see that this type of love is how the relationship of the Father to the Son, an agapeo love, it's something that comes in based on principle and on will. This agapeo love marks the redeeming love of God. Turn, if you will, to 1 John. This is the chapter that Dave read, page 1875 in the Companion Bible. 1 John 4:9. Here we find the redeeming love of God and what kind of love it is. 4:9. In this was manifest the agape of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is the word agapeo in this verse. Look at verse 16 in that same chapter. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Aristotle said that the deity exists not to love, but to be loved. And the Scripture teaches us just the opposite of that. If you look at verse 19, he loved, we love him because he first loved us. The scripture reverses what Aristotle said. Aristotle didn't know what he was talking about. We love him. We agapeo him because he agapeoed us. Number three, the word agapeo marks the distinctive peculiarity of Christian love in relation to others. Turn back to Ephesians, the first chapter, page 1761. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Here is agapeo love that is peculiar among saints. You see, I could say I agapeo Nikki. I could say I agapeo Stephanie. But I phileo Rosemary. There's a difference. I don't eros Stephanie and Nikki. I may eros Rosemary. So you can see that you can't just take the word love as we find it through the scripture. There's a difference in the Koine Greek. And here is the best example that I know of in these three words. Number four, agapeo denotes the believer's relationship to God in Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. So this love, this agapeo love that you see in this word here, in this verse, marks the believer's relationship to God in Christ. Agapeo marks the nature of God himself. Turn to chapter 4 of 1 John. The nature of God himself. In chapter 4, verse 8, they read, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Here we find the nature of God in this word, agapeo. In verse 16 of that same chapter, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And the he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Agapeo marks the relationship of God's love with the sacrificial gifts of Christ. Look at verse 9 of that chapter. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So it is this agapeo love that marks the relationship of God's love through the gift of his Son Christ. Agapeo marks the need for the believer to manifest his love. If you look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And this is reminiscent of what we read back in the first chapter of Ephesians. Agapeo love marks the perfecting effect that casts out all fear. Look at verse 18 in this chapter. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because our fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we begin to see there's more to this type of love that's described, this peculiar word in Scripture that we don't find in classical Greek. It has more to do with a lot of other things. It gives us an understanding it actually marks the life of a Christian. Agapeo love marks the life of a Christian. Go back to the third chapter of 1 John. The third chapter of 1 John, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So here we find the way we should be as Christians with this agape love that He has for us and that we have for Him. We are to be prone to do good deeds. That's not working out your salvation. It becomes a nature that's based on your understanding of His love towards you and your love towards Him and your love for others. It is a love that is so complete and so assuring, so unchangeably, that we are, turn to Romans chapter 8, page 1680. Here we find in Romans this same agapeo love. Romans chapter 8, a love that is so complete, so assuring. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The agape love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as Christians, it is in you as well. And we look here behind me on the wall, this verse that says, may your love abound. Let me give you a quiz. Is that eros? Is it phileo? Is it agapeo? It's agapeo. May your love abound in knowledge and discernment until the day of Christ. I think that this is one of the best examples that I know of why it's so important to know a little bit about Koine Greek. And I'm grateful for those men who have gone before us, who have the intelligence to understand and to point out these things, because it makes a huge difference in the Scripture. If you just go through and start reading love, pretty soon you don't really understand what is being said. And so you have a misconception, and you're writing music, for example, that's more like a love song that is based on eros or based on phileo rather than based on knowledge and discernment of Him. Something that comes from the heart rather than from the head. Are there any questions on this Mother's Day about this particular word of love? Let's pray. Father, we again thank You so much for Your love towards us, and that You were willing to send Your Son, Christ Jesus, for the salvation that we have in Him. Lord, I'm grateful for everyone here this morning. I appreciate them and their quest to understand and to learn more about You. I just pray that You would continue to be with us, open our eyes, that we may truly come to the grace and the knowledge of You. For it's in Christ Jesus I pray. Amen.